Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the PT Powerhouse podcast. This is number 46. It is Tuesday, November 10th. We are just a few days away now from the official start of the college basketball season, and we have a few exciting topics left here, I guess, to hit before seasons tip off. And today is the final podcast in our season preview series. So excited to kind of check this one off the list and move into, you know, actual basketball and some actual games. And today we're hitting the Michigan State Spartans, one of the Big Ten's two Final Four teams last year, nation's leading two teams. But to help break down the Spartans, we have Adam Biggers from Today's U. Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Thomas. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you on, and excited to kind of get into the Spartans here, heading into the new year. So before, I guess, we jump into any specifics on the team, the roster, anything like that, what are kind of the general feelings coming into the season? Obviously a exciting year last year, but what are the thoughts heading into this season?
I mean, I think there's just talking to guys, there's the thought of unfinished business. You know, Bryn Forbes has talked about it. Denzel Valentine's talked about it. I'm sure the other guys have too, but specifically that I've spoken with, Denzel Valentine and Bryn Forbes definitely have that, you know, unfinished business kind of thing going. Gavin Schilling as well, losing, you know, by 81-61 to Duke in the Final Four, definitely left a bad taste in their mouth. It's something that it motivates them. You know, it's not to where it's a negative to that they just kind of hang their heads on it. It's something that just really pushes them. So I think that's the general feeling coming in this year. I think they think that they can do it. And, you know, you have Denzel Valentine leading the way, and he's definitely intent. They're not, you know, they didn't get to where they wanted to last year, and that's definitely what's pushing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and last year, you know, I obviously we're going to focus on next year, or this year, I should say, but you know, last year was a really interesting season for Michigan State. You know, I kind of generally, you know, I did some retrospective posts on all the Big Ten, and Michigan State's, I kept calling it bizarre, because, I mean, at least from my perspective, it was, you know, one week they would be up, the next week they'd be down, and it seemed like it was almost random. Did you have the same feeling last year?
Yeah, there was no way can I say hell? There was no way in hell. I thought that they were a Final Four team last year. They were not playing like it. I thought, you know, they get into March, things will be different. But there was, you know, there was a short time where they appeared to be a bubble team. And I want to say it was probably around mid-February I was at a game. And I asked Travis Trice, and I think I asked him again on senior day. You know, they were still kind of waiting. But I think, you know, people who watch enough Michigan State basketball know that, you know, they could be, you know, an 8 seed. A 9 seed, they've done it before and get to the Final Four. So it's all about just getting into March. So no, I did not think they were a Final Four team last year in the slightest bit. I thought that you know, the word bizarre, yeah, that would definitely probably be one that I would use to describe it. Surprise, out of the blue, you know, there's a lot of terms I think you can use, but yeah, bizarre season, successful season. But a bizarre season.
Yeah, it was just an interesting one, because, you know, normally a team, you know, they might start slow and kind of build, or, you know, start up high and kind of trend down. But yeah, Michigan State was kind of all over the place, but obviously ended up in the Final Four and had a successful year. But with that, why don't we jump into the roster here? In the backcourt, Michigan State, they're losing a key contributor in Travis Trice, but they do bring back a few contributors, Tum-Tum, Forbes. What do you expect out of the backcourt this year?
Well, yeah, and mentioning Travis, you know, he was a huge reason. He was a senior on a mission. So, and I think that's – and Brandon Dawson was too, but especially Travis, I think. And, you know, Denzel and Bryn are seniors, and Matt Costello, they kind of have that same feeling. So going as going back to the first question about how, you know, the general feeling coming in. Replacing Travis isn't going to be easy at all. Tom Tom, though, has proven that he's capable of running that offense. He's got to be as fast as point guard. I would say he's just as fast as Keith Appling, just as fast as Kalen Lucas, if not faster. I remember when Keith got recruited, there was a little joke going on between him and Kalen on who was faster. So I think Tum Tum's actually quicker than both of those guys. He needs to shoot better. He's not the best shooter. His free throw shooting wasn't great either last year. I don't have the stats in front of me, but nobody as a team they shot like 62.4% or something like that, or 64.2. Not good either way. Bryn Forbes is going to be huge. He's already, you know, we've talked about him, I think, last time I spoke with you. He's put on muscle. He just looks stronger. You can tell, a lot of upper body strength and then the shoulders. It's probably going to help him, you know, if he wants to take his game a little bit in the paint. He's not really a guy who drives to the rim a lot. He's definitely a three-point shooter, definitely a jump shooter. But I think maybe he can add a little bit more of that into his game this season. He had like 23 during the exhibition that I saw against Northern Michigan. I'm not sure what he had against Ferris State last night, but I know that they romped him by like 50 points. You'll have to forgive me. I'm not keeping up on the exhibitions too much, but especially Michigan football going on right now. But I will, Bryn Forbes is going to be huge. He's a guy I think that if he was not already on your radar, he better be on your radar. I believe that he'll be an all Big Ten caliber player. I do think that he's going to be, I mean, it'll be Denzel Valentine's show, no doubt about that. But if you're looking for a right-hand man, Bryn Forbes is definitely the guy. And those two, you know, they're former high school teammates at Lansing Sexton. They've won together in high school. They want to do it again. And I think that's a really good combo. And you know, truthfully, 2 years ago, he would have told me this, I probably wouldn't have believed it, because the knock on Forbes was he wasn't big. He didn't really play a ton of defense. He was like 170 pounds. He's near, I want to say he's about 190 now, 195 maybe. So, he's gotten a lot bigger. And, Forbes, I think out of anybody on Michigan State's roster, his transformation to me has been kind of the most notable.
Yeah, and he'll be a, you hear a lot of talk, obviously, we'll get into the wing group in a second with Valentine, but Forbes definitely is like a guy who's getting a lot of attention as one of the better players on the team. But moving on to the wing group, I mentioned Valentine, obviously a lot of hype with him coming into the summer. And coming into the season, what do you expect out of Valentine, Javon Best, a couple of these wing guys this season?
Well, it's weird. Izzo compared Best's game a little bit. He said he's got some Draymondism in him. I think that was the exact Draymond something. We'll call it Draymondism, which I thought was refreshing. If you're a Michigan State fan, that's definitely something you want to hear. I mean, last year, Izzo, going back to Tum Tum, he said that he saw some Mateen Cleaves in him. You know, that's obviously something, basketball-wise, that Spartans fans like to hear. So I think when, you get a guy even remotely compared a little bit with Draymond, I think that bodes well. Javon's real athletic. We haven't really seen what he can do yet, so he's kind of like the X factor. He's the guy that you project doing a lot based on, what he's capable of, but yet there's not a large sample size. With Denzel Valentine, I think, he's a guy who people have mentioned as a potential player of the year. I know that there are people who are on the fence about, as far as like a preseason All-American list, and is Denzel Valentine really that good? I think he can be that good. And what's missing from his game, I think he doesn't have that, like, that razzle-dazzle finishing that, some guys have. He's a phenomenal floor general. He can really just work the offense. He doesn't even have to be the point man in the offense. So Denzel being out there makes everything run smoothly. He's just one of those players who has that it factor. I think, expectations-wise from Denzel Valentine, he's got to lead the team in scoring. He's got to be one of the leaders in assists in the Big Ten, if not in the country. I mean, he really does have a total package to where you can see those comparisons when Tom Izzo said he passes like Magic Johnson. I mean, he does. And I think that that's expectations-wise. He's a senior now. That doubles it automatically, especially if you're an Izzo senior. So, I mean, to expect anything than an all-conference and, you know, maybe something close to where he's mentioned as a national player of the year, I think that's what people expect.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things is I really feel like, you know, generally there's kind of consensus about, you know, who's going to be the better players in the Big Ten or the country. You know, in the Big Ten, a lot of guys who get talk are, you know, Yogi Ferrell, Mel Trimble, guys like that. But it seems like people are so mixed on Valentine. Some love him, some are kind of down on him. But yeah, I'm with you. You know, I think he kind of gets overshadowed because he doesn't have that one area that's crazy elite, but he's so diverse in his skill set. Is that something you agree with, or?
Yeah, I think. I mean, he could play 4 out of 5 positions on the floor, I think, against any team without a problem. Depending on, you know, if Izzo's going with a small lineup, I don't know if if there's a scenario where he'd be a 5, but yeah, diverse. He's one of those guys who's just such a smart player. Talking with him, you know, basketball is very much natural to him. He's very much one of those guys who allows Izzo to do what he wants. You know, I think, some players may not be as receptive to coaching, and maybe that's why we see coaches like Tom Izzo. He's able to get a whole lot out of guys. I mean, let's face it, 4 years ago, when people were talking about recruiting, people weren't talking about Denzel Valentine. Now they are. So I think that's kind of the proof right there. He lets Izzo do what he does. Guys develop. I mean, Denzel Valentine's got the physical attributes, you know, 6'5", 6'5", 6'5½, 225-ish. And like I mentioned, he's got a complete game. I think for me, and if I want, you know, just being picky, if I had something, I'd like to see Denzel have a stronger finish game, maybe something like what Brandon Dawson had. Denzel doesn't have that dominant defensive presence either, but offensively, anytime he's around the ball or the ball's in his hand, I don't know if there's anybody in the country who can do as many things as he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely in agreement, and you know, in a lot of ways, he kind of reminds me of Aaron White, which is meant as a compliment. I really liked Aaron White's game last year. Just such a diverse, you know, he can rebound, pass, shoot, score inside. But going to be an interesting for Valentine for sure. But moving on in our positional breakdowns here, up to the front court, Brandon Dawson, as you mentioned, he's out the door, off to the NBA. But there are a few key returners. Costello's back, Schilling's back. What do you expect out of the front court this year?
Well, the key addition is freshman Deontay Davis. He's put on a lot of weight too. If you look at some of like his recruiting tape, he was a skinny kid with braids, you know, and that just kind of made him look gangly. You know, he had his hair whipping around and stuff. He cut the braids. He's like 245, 250, just packed solid. I mean, he looks like a defensive end, just a really athletic defensive end, real lean, powerful. He had four blocks during that exhibition versus Northern. The refs had to tell him to settle down a little bit, which I thought was kind of funny, actually. 12 points, if I'm remembering correctly. Deontay is going to be a force. Deontay, I think he's, like a lot of freshmen, it's just going to be one of those years where he learns. He's going to make some mistakes, but I think just his natural talent is what's going to shine through. And I mean, really, if we revisit this conversation maybe in like late January, early February, and then again heading into March, I think that we'll be able to really see measurable leaps and bounds with him. Because I think, you know, at he's listed at 6'10". 250, 245-ish, like I said. I mean, when you're that size and as athletic as he is, it's really hard to discount him. I mean, I think Deontay Davis is going to be a superstar. I really do.
But where do you kind of see him fitting in? Do you see him as a center this year, or more as a power forward?
It depends on the lineup. I could see him playing center, you know, because Izzo, I think, does want a traditional center. He compared him a little bit to Paul Davis, who was excellent. You know, he played the four and the five. Paul, you know, real tough. I think wherever it's going to be one of those things where he's got to work him in the lineup. I don't know if he's going to be an immediate, you know, major impact guy every night. But I am so confident just in what I've heard, everybody talking about him, all the players talking about him. I mean, Izzo's got himself a player. Deontay Davis is a guy who is going to, whenever he decides to leave Michigan State, whether he's there, you know, 2 or 3 years, he's gonna leave a mark. I mean, he is that good. He can shoot. I don't think that a lot of people realize that. And Izzo brought up as well one of the other parts of his game that make him so dangerous and it complements his rebounding is his outlet passing game. And he said that he doesn't think anybody really knows about that. He didn't even really know about it until he started seeing it. So, you know, we talk about those guys that could be molded and stuff like that. Deontay Davis is kind of like the opposite of some of the other guys who don't come in highly heralded as a recruit. He comes in as a big time recruit, and he's kind of got that you know, that putty factor to him, to where Izzo can mold him. So I'm excited to see where he'll be at. Like I said, you know, when we maybe talk about this in late January, and then look back at him in February, and then entering March, I'm really excited to see what happens with him.
Yeah, and I'm really interested to see, you know. Obviously, you know, you don't want to get too ahead because there's a lot of games and a lot of things to see out of this team. But, you know, there are a lot of wing options. But, man, if you could get him into the lineup somewhere, whether it's power forward or center, he definitely seems like a guy who could make an early impact. But moving on, kind of, you know, we talked about Davis. Obviously, he's a newcomer. But Michigan State is also welcoming a few others. Matt McQuaid coming in this year, Kyle Arids. And then you also have a transfer in Eron Harris. What do you expect out of this recruiting class? You know, obviously you talked about Davis in length, but who might be another guy to watch? And, you know, Harris has been getting a lot of chat this offseason. What are you expecting out of him as well?
And real quick, I'll touch back on the front court. Just Gavin Schilling, he's been somebody that, as I said last year, had to fall in love with basketball. Again, he trained, you know, he had a hard training off season. You know how that goes. That story is the same for a lot of guys. And Matt Costello as well. So those guys just, I'll keep it short with them. Those guys just have to be better. I think that's the easiest thing to say. As far as Aaron Harris goes, he's got a really nice jump step. He's got those shifty, deceptive moves that make him an elite scorer. He can shoot from anywhere on the floor. Doesn't play defense up to par where Izzo wants it at this point. He made a joke about how he thought, you know, some guys who are shooters don't feel like they have to play defense. So I think with Aaron Harris, that'll be the thing. You know, how can he complement his offensive game by helping out on the defensive side? But he's another guy who can be an elite scorer, and if you get Valentine and Forbes going, and then Aaron Harris is, you know, that third piece, or maybe he can relieve Forbes, or, you know, you run a combination of two of the three, he can be really dangerous. So I think as a newcomer, you know, obviously he's not a newcomer to college basketball, transferring from West Virginia, but as a newcomer to Michigan State, he's somebody people want to pay attention to. Matt McQuaid, Matt McQuaid and Kyle Arons both, I'll lump them together. They both have the, I'm trying to look for the right word, just that attitude. I've talked to both of those guys, and, you know, I've mentioned coachable players. They're in that mold. Matt McQuaid, natural shooter, really strong legs. If you see Matt McQuaid, that's funny as well, because if you look at him, he's so trunky. You know, down low, he's got the rest of his upper body's got to catch up to him. but he's got that really solid base that makes for a great shooter. So I think he's even played a little bit of point guard. You know, I mean, I think that he might even get some a little bit of that as well. Kyle Arns, he can score, and he's one of these kids you meet. He, you know, real nice kid, and as a freshman, you know, you can tell that he's got that kind of, you know, youthful, naive thing going on. You know, he's taking on the world. He's in college. But this kid flips the gear when he's on the court. He gets really aggressive. He can dunk. He's, you know, finish well at the rim. He can shoot. It's just a matter of him catching up. I remember talking with him on media day, and he said, you know, it's just a thing with him, you know, like baseline drills and defense and stuff like that, that he's just trying to perfect. You know, it's little things. He's making mistakes. He's learning. And I think that'll be the case for him and McQuaid. I don't expect either one of those guys to be major contributors this season, but I do expect them to be, you know, solid bench guys when Izzo needs a spark. And, you know, after these first two games, you know, with the exhibitions, that's the goal, get some of the younger guys, especially some experience. So those guys will be, you know, maturation projects, but I think that they'll come along just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the interesting things with McQuaid is, you know, Michigan State has a lot of depth across the board, but the point guard, they're actually a little bit thin. You know, they have Tom Tu, I'm sure he's going to play a lot of minutes, but yeah, he might get himself a nice little role there as the backup point guard. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, that's probably possible. And, you know, we'll probably see Denzel running the point too. As well, and one more thing about McQuaid is he's also he was actually compared as a recruit to Nick Stauskas, and you know, I think people listening to this podcast know Nick Stauskas. Nick could shoot, but Nick, the thing that Nick did, I think that maybe that I was most impressed with, I guess, because I do like the dunks. I am a fan of guys who attack the rim. Nick added that into it, and Matt McQuaid's got that as well. So that'll be, you know, maybe I'm not going to compare them head up, but as far as maybe a jump this year during the season and into next year, maybe we see Matt bring that more into it. I mean, then again, we haven't even seen him play at the college level, so maybe he already will bring it to that. But I think that's comparison-wise, athletically, he is similar to Nick Stauskas.
Yeah, obviously a lofty comparison, but yeah. And one side note, you know, something that, you know, maybe the Michigan fans will remember, you know, if they're listening to the Michigan State preview, I guess. But when Trey Burke was kind of going through his decision whether he was going to come back or go to the NBA, they actually were kind of talking about making Nick Stauskas into a point guard as well. So another, you know, random similarity, I guess, between the two. So that'll be an interesting development to follow for sure.
Nick was a nice guy. You know, he had the baby face thing going on with him. Nice kid from Canada, and he gets on the basketball court and he's an animal. So I think that might be, you know, kind of another similarity. Matt's kind of got that quietness to him, I think, that Nick had when he first got to Michigan. And you know, they open up, you know, when they're around and get used to things a little bit more. But there's also been Klay Thompson comparisons with Matt McQuaid, and I think that might be more or less shooting-wise. But either way, you know, he is a heck of an athlete, and I think that he will be part – I'm trying to look for the right word here because they were talking with the shooters. As far as a shooting team, these guys are really proud of the way that they shoot the ball, because Izzo said that these guys are probably his best shooting team, if not ever. Certainly one of the best shooting teams he's ever had.
Yeah, certainly. I know I did my preview for Michigan State earlier this week, and that was the thing that stood out, is it looks like a really good shooting team. But with that, why don't we back out here a little more generally. Michigan State setting up for, you know, once again, unsurprisingly, a extremely difficult schedule. You know, in the Big Ten, fans kind of know what to expect. You know, you generally play the same teams, you know, home and road games. But in non-conference play, you know, Michigan State has lined itself up. You know, they play Kansas. They're going to get Boston College in the Wooden Legacy Tournament, potentially a matchup, you know, Boise State or Arizona. They play Louisville. They play Florida. They even have a few tricky games, you know, with Northeastern and Oakland. You know, I think most are projecting the Spartans to be a pretty good team this year, but is this non-conference schedule going to be a little bit too much for this team?
Well, I mean, they're used to it by now. I mean, the actual players who have been around a little bit, you know, Denzel, especially Matt, Costello, those guys are used to it. I mean, it might be a little bit of a shock for the freshmen, but I do know, you know, when they went to the tournament over in Italy and they were playing, you know, 27 and 28-year-old experienced guys, you know, I mean, these guys have been pros, you know, Olympic-caliber athletes. So, I mean, they got their butts kicked a little bit over in Italy. I think that helps. I mean, I think, what is it, November 17th in Chicago, and they play Kansas. If history says anything, I mean, Michigan State probably loses that game. You know, but it'll probably be one of those games that, as I was talking about in February and March, that got them ready for that point. So the Louisville game at the Breslin Center, I'm excited about that. Yeah, I mean, he does it every year, and I think that's kind of the method behind his madness. I think that's what makes watching, you know, the non-conference schedule for Michigan State so fun, because it's I don't want to call them underdogs all the time, but, I mean, let's face it, when you're facing, you know, Louisville, Kansas, maybe Arizona, I mean, you're not playing, you know, easy teams here. So, I mean, they are games that they're not going into automatically thinking they're going to win. You know, it's not a game, and I guess I won't even say Oakland, because Oakland's given them a run for their money before. So, either way, yeah, the non-conference with Michigan State, it's like a preview of March basketball in a way.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you know, I'm generally, you know, I have, you know, very strong opinions about scheduling. I've pretty much ranted about this, you know, in every team preview. You know, I don't want to say, you know, playing the RPI game, but that's kind of what it is, you know, what I support, I guess, in reality, you know, playing teams that you're probably going to beat, but are good enough to boost your RPI. And the thing about Michigan State's schedule is it's obviously really tough. We mentioned some of the teams, you know, anytime, you know, you're talking about Kansas, who's like a top five team, Arizona, Louisville, Florida, you know, potentially like Boise State or Providence, you know, you're talking about a handful of teams that legitimately could be ranked at some point this year. But they also have those games, you know, with Northeastern, with Oakland, that are good enough to, you know, give them a boost, so to speak. And I think we saw a little of that last year because, you know, and again, I don't want to get too sidetracked with last year here, but, you know, Michigan State, frankly, didn't have a good win in non-conference play last year. You know, they lost to Kansas, they lost to Duke, they lost to Notre Dame, and obviously they got upset by Texas Southern, but they had enough of the teams that were like just good enough, you know, Marquette and Oakland and Eastern, that they were able to make the tournament, and that certainly seems like a valuable thing this year, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that kind of just goes back to when, you know, when we're talking about, did I think that they were a Final Four team last year? We're talking about a team that beat Navy 64-59. So, no, that was like the first regular season game of the year. And then, yeah, you mentioned losing to Texas Southern and Notre Dame and everybody else. And I don't know if I see maybe as rough of a time this season, but yeah, it will be. Let's put it, Louisville, Florida, Kansas, Boston College. I mean, if they can split those 2-2, I think that's probably okay. That's something that they can run with. That's something, you know, just as long as, you know, they're quality games and they could take something from it. I think that's probably okay. And really, you know, the coach Izzo wants to win every game, but I mean, you know, he's tactical too, so maybe he does look at it like that. Can I just go in there and, you know, split these really tough non-conference games and be happy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. And, you know, it'll at least be entertaining, that's for sure. That's one of the things I always hate when people complain about, you know, non-conference college basketball. You know, these games are great. But yeah, I guess, you know, moving on from that, one of the questions I like to ask is what's something that you think, you know, could be surprising about this Michigan State team, something unexpected, or, you know, sometimes people have said they're going to upset someone or certain players going to stand out. What's something that you think, you know, people aren't talking about that's going to be surprising about this Spartan team?
You know, I'm not really sure, because the expectations have already been set. I mean, they're not shy about it at all. But this is, and not to say every team doesn't want to win a national championship, but this is a team that is geared toward winning a national championship this year. I think they have a 2-year window, really, and that's probably another conversation, you know, with recruiting class, and they're actually signing their class tomorrow at the Breslin Center. So I think that this is part one. If Izzo can get it this year, you know, great for him. Maybe he'll have a chance to go back to back next year. But this is just getting the engine revved up. I don't know if there is anything that would qualify as a surprise to me, as far as, because, like I said, the expectations are already set so high. I don't think there's really any room for surprise. Maybe Matt McQuaid plays a little bit more point guard than we expect, and maybe Matt becomes a little bit more part of the offense. I don't know. Maybe Kyle Arnes is better than I expect. I don't think really any. I would say this. I would be surprised. I'll flip it. I'd be surprised and really shocked if Deontay Davis is not some kind of man-child come February, and I don't even like using that term, but it's the only one that could come to mind right now. If Deontay Davis isn't beasting it by time, you know, late January, early February comes around, I'd be very surprised. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I think my surprising thing, semi-similar note, but one of the guys who I talked about, I think on last year's preview, was Javon Bess. Really, I liked him coming out of high school. He has a great combo of, you know, athleticism, length, size. And I think he's set for a big season. You know, obviously he struggled with injury stuff last year. But I think he's a guy that not many people are talking about, at least outside of East Lansing. And I think he could be set to be a starter this year. I think he could have a big impact this year. And, you know, might be that extra piece to kind of lift him over the top and, you know, knock off some of these or at least projected top teams. But why don't we jump into the juicy part of the preview here, I guess. Season predictions. What do you see out of the Spartans? How do they fit into the Big Ten? Do they make the postseason? I'm assuming yes. So how far do you think this team can go? And, I guess, what are your thoughts on the Spartans for this year?
They compete in the top third of the Big Ten, no problem. I do think Maryland, it's the Big Ten's Maryland's to lose. I expect nothing but a Final Four run. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, last year, though, that was not my expectations. Last year, I was very unsure, because we, you know, Travis Trice wasn't exactly a guy people were looking at for star power. And for him to have the march that he had as the senior year that he had is just incredible. I mean, Travis had battled injuries, had injuries. He didn't know if there was a point where he really didn't know if he was going to live. I mean, it was that serious, let alone, you know, play basketball again, let alone become a star on the team. So, going back to last year, I'm thinking so many things were against the Spartans. Maybe those are the teams, you know, history's taught us enough. Those are the teams that seem to achieve. You know, we've seen some, like the 2012 team didn't live up to expectations. You know, during you know, the team, Kalen Lucas and Darrell Summers, senior year, didn't live up to expectations. So this year it's Final Four or bust. It's national championship or bust for these guys. So I guess they've said it. So I guess that's what I've got to expect. I think it's fair based on the history. It's fair based on the factors of Izzo having an experienced senior being his best player. I think that's always kind of got to be the key. So I fully expect Michigan State to be there among the Final Four teams come April.
Wow, bold pick. I don't know.
There's part of me I'm gonna want to eat my words probably at some point in January, and then late February, early March, I'll be glad that I said this, and then probably once the tournament starts up, I'll be thinking, why did I say this? But I really don't know what else to say to you, Thomas, because when they lay it out like that, that's a team expectation. My expectations are that I think that Tom Izzo is a good enough coach to be able to call shots like that. And if he says that a national championship is his goal, if guys like Denzel Valentine say that unfinished business really burns inside them, I got to believe that they have enough to get there, because I've never considered Michigan State a program that spouts off. If anything, Tom Izzo downplays his teams all the time. I mean, he downplayed how good it could be last year, you know. So that's I know it might sound a little bit outrageous, but I'll ask you to play this again for me in March, and I guess I'll tell you how I feel then. Is that fair?
Yeah. Well, I guess for me, I'm not quite as high on Michigan State, but I do think this is going to be certainly a good team. I'd be shocked, you know, just to get it out of the way, I expect them to go to the NCAA tournament. You know, I'd be shocked if they didn't. You know, Izzo has his, what, like 20-year streak or whatever going
yeah.
at this point. But I think one of the interesting – I have them third in the Big Ten. I have them behind Maryland and behind Indiana. Interesting enough, though, I actually think this team might have more raw talent and be deeper than the team last year. You know, it seems like across the lineup, except maybe point guard, you know, we talked a little bit about they might be a little thin there. Obviously, they can move some guys over, quote-unquote, out of position. But outside of that, you know, I think they have more quality options across the lineup. You know, adding Deontay Davis up front is going to be huge. Harris, a guy, really, you know, most Big Ten teams, he would be starting right now. And he looks like he's going to be coming off the bench, at least early on. I mentioned Javon Best as a guy who I think could be set for a kind of a breakout year. So I think this team has a lot of talent. The only thing I'm concerned about, you know, maybe this sounds kind of short-sighted or flawed here, but, you know, when you start looking at the top teams, you know, the top 10, Final Four type of teams, they almost always have at least two major stars, at least two to three. And I think Michigan State certainly has one in Denzel Valentine. You know, obviously he's proven that he's an all Big Ten type of player. But, you know, they're going to need Forbes. They're going to need, you know, maybe Harris, maybe Bess, Deontay Davis, one of those guys to become a legitimate all Big Ten type of player if this team is really going to, you know, reach that top end of their potential. So I have them third. I think that's going to be one of the things, you know, they're not going to have that second kind of force. But, you know, maybe as you talked about, you know, maybe Forbes can be that guy. You know, we'll have to see. Right now, I think he'll be good. I'm not sure he'll be quite good enough. But, you know, I'm wrong all the time. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, one of the other interesting things, too, you know, hard to, you know, speculate too much on the tournament just because, you know, obviously we don't know the matchups yet. and you never know kind of how, you know, I don't want to say Michigan State had an easy route last year. You know, for instance, Villanova going out in the 32. was certainly a break, at least some thought. So, you never know how those are going to fall. And, they might get into an ultra tough bracket or something, but I do expect this team at least to be in the Sweet 16. I think they certainly have enough to get to the Final Four, but I think it's going to depend on one more guy emerging. But
they'll need that. And I mean, I had them losing to Virginia in the Sweet 16 last year on my bracket. So Michigan State, screwed up my bracket. I think I had like three of the four Final Four teams, and it was because of Michigan State. But I agree that Valentine's got to have a guy who comes up and joins him kind of in the star ranks. And if it's not two legitimate stars, maybe they can get by with one legitimate star and two guys who are half a legitimate star and combined to fill that void. Because again, I don't want to mention last year, but I mean last year there wasn't really a legitimate star on the team. You could argue. I mean, Denzel Valentine was a very good player, but I mean, Travis Trice was not a star point guard. Brandon Dawson was, if anything, an underachiever in a lot of people's eyes. So I don't feel like Brandon Dawson really peaked out at Michigan State. So if you have a good Michigan State's got a good point guard who has now experience and can run the offense with Tum Tum. Tum Tum there being that guy, and Denzel Valentine and Bryn Forbes. It's so hard, Thomas. I mean, we've both watched enough basketball to know. I mean, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't in regards to Michigan State basketball. So it's like, do I want to try to be as I grew up watching Big Ten basketball, and do I want to just see Michigan State for what it is and a team that surprises, or is it going to prove once again that it is, an elite program in the country, cream of the crop of the Big Ten, and go on one of these crazy runs that happen, seven out of the past 15 years. So it's so hard to tell with Michigan State basketball. I do think it has the pieces to make a run to the Final Four, though. I truly believe that.
Yeah. I definitely think there's enough there. I think just the uncertainty, as you were talking about too, of just that second star emerging, does hold me back a little bit from getting to that top one. But yeah, and I mean, who knows? If Michigan State can pull off an upset of Kansas and knock off Florida and Louisville or something like that, they could go into March with a really nice seed. So that'll be something to watch as well. But Adam, thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it. Any final thoughts here on Michigan State, the Big Ten, college basketball, as we're in the final days before the season?
I think it's what we've, grown accustomed to the past couple, and especially now that Maryland's in the league. I feel like it just makes the Big Ten that much better. I was very excited when it was announced that the Terps, not necessarily for football, but for basketball, I thought, boom, right there, you get another – you get another team that's going to compete with Wisconsin. You get another team that's going to compete with Michigan and Michigan State and in Indiana. So I'm really excited about that. I think the Maryland did a heck of a job last year and solidifying itself. And hey, we're coming from the ACC where we had a lot of success. We're going to go to the Big Ten and we're going to have a lot of success. So it's Maryland, I think, is the team to watch. Purdue, Caleb Swanigan looks pretty good. I think we're going to be in for a really fun year. I think that, you look over at Michigan, there's a lot of potential over there. The health is going to be a main reason, but I think that Michigan will be a tournament team and compete in the top third of the Big Ten as well, because, I mean, we're looking at, 14 teams here. So, cut it off top. I'll just say top five. I think Michigan can sneak in there, but I'm with you as far as Maryland. I think Indiana's going to be real good too. So that's kind of what I'm watching for.
Yeah. I'm thrilled. It kind of reminds me of going into that 2012-13 season where almost every game had implications number one versus like number three games happened a couple times, you know, so it should be a really exciting season. But Adam, thanks again for joining us, and we appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Again, that was Adam Biggers of Today's U. He does a lot of coverage on the Spartans. Also does a lot for the Wolverines as well. So if you're from the Mittens, definitely a guy to follow on Twitter and check out Today's U. I actually do a little contributing over there as well for college basketball. So definitely worth checking out. But with that, we're done with our preview for Michigan State. We are done with our preview for the Big Ten. How about that? Several weeks, and we're just a couple days away from the regular season started. So it's an exciting time for college basketball. But I'm Thomas Bendit, manager of BT Powerhouse. You can follow me on Twitter, @TBendit, and make sure to check out BT Powerhouse as our final preview coverage next year. But thank you, and we'll see you next time.